get in the game. Here we go!
Sorry, it's taken me a while to wake up and start performing on today's show. If you see where I'm getting at there. Was not pretty last night at Bramlage Coliseum. Kansas State falls to Iowa State by a final score of 87-79. The Wildcats lose at home for the fourth time in league play this season. That's what we will be talking about through the majority of today's show, as things have started to really fall apart for the K-State basketball program down the stretch of the season. They have five games left, but they sit at 5-8 in Big 12 play after last night's loss. We have a poll question we would love your responses to. We also would love to hear from you on the phones today, talking a lot about Bruce Weber's job status and where K-State goes from here. We'll also get into a big-time recruiting update in the basketball world as a five-star point guard is headed to the Big 12, but not to the school maybe you would have thought. Also, the coaching carousel in college basketball is now in motion as NC State has fired Mark Gottfried. We'll have You Can't Be Serious to finish things off at 5:50. 537-1350, 866-776-1350. If you want to give us a call, it's Tyler and Mitch today as John is, well, I think he's made it down there already. The K-State baseball team opens its season tomorrow. Believe it or not, it is baseball season, and they are down in Florida for a tournament. K-State's going to be playing in four games over the course of the weekend down in Florida. You'll be able to hear those here on News Radio KMAN, and John is with the team down there. So we will see him next week, and hopefully he will be very sunburned.
And I just want to mention, Saturday here on KMAN, we'll have a stretch of pretty darn close to 10, 11 hours of constant K-State sports, because there's a doubleheader of K-State baseball, then you also have K-State men's and women's basketball that just somehow do a decent job of not really overlapping each other when it comes to actually playing the game, because the men start at 1 and then the women start at 3, and then you have baseball a little bit after that that night plus in the morning. So yeah, it's basically just
a marathon,
action packed.
Yeah, it's a fun time of the year as we transition from basketball into baseball. Of course, that also applies to the Royals, who have now reported to Surprise Arizona, getting things started with spring training. I've really enjoyed seeing some of those updates. The weather's nice out. What is there to be sad about right now, right? Nothing to be concerned about whatsoever. Now, we'll talk right off the bat here about K-State and Iowa State last night. And there are a number of different ways to go with this. We'll have a little bit different angle on it in the second hour. But I want to start with the game itself, as K-State falls behind big in the first half of this one. They really just did not look ready to play whatsoever. I mean, I saw it 2 minutes into the game. I was sitting there on press row about, you know, maybe 90 seconds, 2 minutes into the game, and I'm like, they're not going to win. They don't care.
I got that exact same vibe.
Yes, to their credit, they came out in the second half, made it close, got it to within six, but you can't hang anything on that anymore. You're a team that's 16-10, you're 5-8 in the Big 12. You are today still in Joe Lunardi's bracket as an 11 seed, but those hopes are continuing to fade, and you came into this stretch, your last six games, knowing that you needed to finish strong to secure your spot in the NCAA tournament, and K-State just didn't seem to want to be there. And the kind of way that I look at this is, losing to Iowa State in itself by 8 points is forgivable. It is not ideal. It is frustrating. And it is, you know, your fourth home loss in Big 12 play, and that's certainly not great whatsoever. But just in itself, in a vacuum, losing to Iowa State is forgivable. They're a solid team. They're 8-5 in the Big 12. Respectable RPI, likely to make the tournament. It's not like you're losing to Savannah State or something like that. Iowa State's a solid team. That's forgivable. what is not forgivable is how K-State came out of the gate in this game. K-State cannot look like that. And the question is, how much of it goes on the players? How much of it goes on the coaches? After the game, Wesley Iwundu was very quick to say that it's all on the players, that the coaches don't have any control over how much energy the players compete with. Even though I am not a player and have never been a player, I disagree with that to a certain extent. I think that it is a collaboration of effects. You know, the players, yes, they got to want to be there, but if they don't, it is the coach's job to find those buttons to push. It is the coach's job to realize that the players are having a hard time with their motivation and to correct that issue. And last night, K-State did not do a very good job of that. Bruce Weber did call two timeouts in the first half, but they didn't seem to do a whole lot. I know that K-State was missing DJ Johnson. I mean, he did come in the first half, played 11 minutes, but he was clearly not himself, not even close. And part of the reason that Iowa State was successful was because they were able to get into the paint. But you've got to be better than that in all phases. And I was pretty surprised by just about everything that I saw last night.
You know, you made me interested because you mentioned K-State in the latest bracketology is 11 seed. If you remember, when K-State went back to the NCAA tournament for the first time in forever, which was the 07-08 season, the first year of Frank Martin, and you think about that team was an 11 seed entering the NCAA tournament. That team had Jacob Pullen, Michael Beasley, Bill Walker, Dominique Sutton, Jamar Samuels, and they were 11 seed, and they finished that regular season 20-10.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. They were 10-6 in the Big 12, which they played very well at home. They weren't so great on the road. But, I mean, they still got done with one game in the NCAA tournament. I'm not comparing these two teams, but it kind of reminds me of how different times a decade makes.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a different attitude around the program today than at that time. I don't think there's any doubt.
But I do want to mention, because I was there at the game as well, and I snapped a photo with 5 minutes left to go before tip-off of the student section. And with my seats, I'm all the way up there at the top mm-hmm. of 14, which is on the north end of Bramlage Coliseum, and it looked just embarrassingly empty. And it, not just the student section, it looks more empty with the student section because all of the students congregate to the center and the middle, and it leaves the upper part into the side empty. But it was, there was not a lot of people there at all, like half full maybe.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It was a surprisingly poor turnout. Not that I expected it to be, you know, packed or look like the KU game or anything like
that.
And
no energy.
But, yeah, I mean, and, you know, I'm certainly not going to say, well, the fans are the reason that that K-State's in this position because they're not supporting the team and they should be. I'm not saying that. But I think that there could have been an impact in this game made if there had been more fans there. I mean, maybe K-State does not wait as long as it does to find its energy. Maybe the crowd can help that out a little bit. But again, that shouldn't be the crowd's job to get the players ready to
play. Well, first of all, I mean, obviously the home team will feed off its home crowd, especially at the start of a game. But it's not, you know, the fans' fault that they lost the game. I agree with you there. But I think the reason is why the fans aren't showing up to the game is I think they're a little tired of what's been happening with the program. They're tired of their team losing in Big 12 play. They're tired of these long losing streaks, about looking bad at long stretches of time. K-State's lost 6 of the last 7, and they're losing the teams that they probably shouldn't lose to for the second straight season. They've lost at least 4 home games in conference play.
Well, yeah, and we will get into that a little bit later in the show, that K-State, and this is a stunning stat, but K-State is now 7-9 in its last 16 Big 12 home games. 7-9 in its last 16 Big 12 home games. That's not how you get to the NCAA tournament. There's no doubt about that. Iowa State last night, by the way, Solomon Young, freshman forward, only averages 3 points and 2 rebounds a game. He has 18 points and 12 boards in the post for the Cyclones, who shot 61% in the first half and 52% for the game. K-State just did not have an answer inside. I mean, it was another issue with a lack of bench production. We actually did not see Isaiah Maurice play in this game at all, but DJ Johnson, I mentioned, totally not himself, playing 11 minutes, did not score. did not have a rebound. He had one steal, and that is his only statistic. Well, he was 0 for 2 from the field and one steal. So clearly he was not himself. Dean Wade tried to do as much as he could in there. He did have 15 points, 4 rebounds. Solid performance, but you prefer for him, at least in this stage of his career, to be more of a jump shooter than a guy that's going to post up. I mean, he just still, strength-wise, is not quite there with some of the top talents in the Big 12 in terms of post production. It was nice to see Barry Brown break out of a slump. That was a legitimate positive. If K-State is going to turn this around and get to the NCAA tournament, Barry Brown's going to have to be a big part of that. And he was 9 of 14 from the floor last night. And that out of his 14 shots, only 3 of them were 3-pointers. He drove to the basket a lot, did a nice job with that, scored 21 points, had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. So a solid performance from him. That's a legitimate bright spot. But again, we're reaching a point in the season where there's not much reason to talk about the bright spots, because you have to look at the bigger picture and see if K-State's actually going to find a way to get into the postseason.
Barry Brown was playing angry last night, in my opinion. I bet he's heard things here and there about, you know, the word getting around that, you know, he just hadn't been doing well lately. So you heard from Bruce Weber a couple days ago how he'd been over the weekend just constantly in the gym trying to get his shot better, trying to play harder. And we saw last night he was taking the ball to the hoop. He was knocking down outside shots, long-range shots. He was really doing well from all aspects of the – he had some steals. He had a runner for a layup, a breakaway. And I was really encouraged by Barry Brown. And it even made him angrier when he picked up that odd technical foul.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad missed call on the right. On the goaltend, and I thought that it should have gone to Weber. I thought that the technical should have, and it's a decent time to pick up a technical. I mean, honestly, you want to try to fire your guys up right there and show your players that you have their back. But in any case, it went to Barry Brown. But yeah, that's about it. I mean, Barry Brown playing well is nice. Wesley Iwundu had a decent game. I mean, he scored 16 points. He also grabbed 13 rebounds, which is really solid. 4 assists, 2 turnovers. You're gonna take that performance more often than not from Wesley Iwundu. But not having DJ Johnson out there, and then just the lack of motor in the first 15 minutes or so of this game. Very surprising, very concerning, and ultimately what lost them the game.
It's just a total head-scratcher. Why can't K-State play a complete game? Last night, the second half was a completely different story. They scored the most points they have ever scored in a half this season, which was, what, 53, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, 53.
After a very poor first half, very poor.
Yeah, 26 in the first half, and then they more than double that in the second half.
But when we've also seen many times this year, K-State have a great first half, stay with a top 10 team in the country, and then they just perform poorly in the second half. It's so inconsistent. It just makes you scratch your head. Like, why can't K-State put a complete game together? I don't have an answer for that. We haven't really seen, even in non-con, we've seen K-State build big leads and let a team come back. It's a head scratcher how this happens. I don't know if it's depth. I don't know if guys just get tired for playing so many minutes in a ball game. I just don't know, Tyler.
Yeah, well, we're trying to come up with the answers, and we're going to have much more on this game as we move forward with the show. Going to talk in the second hour about Bruce Weber's job status. I do think it is now an appropriate time to have that conversation. K-State is not out of the NCAA tournament picture. In my mind, they need to win 4 more games, regardless of if those games are regular season or Big 12 tournament or whatever. I think they need to win 4 more games to make the tournament. They may do that, but at this point, because of the results that we have, you have to wonder if K-State is going to actually be able to accomplish that. And so for that reason, I think it's a fair time to start talking about where things sit with Bruce Weber and this basketball program. Along those same lines, I welcome you to chime in on our poll question, either on Twitter or give us a call with your response. If K-State makes the NCAA tournament, if they make the NCAA tournament, and you currently believe that Bruce Weber should not return to K-State next year, would that change your opinion on his status for next season, if that makes sense? If you think that he should not be back, but K-State goes on and makes the tournament, would that change your mind? Go ahead and check it out on the poll or on Twitter at the game KMAN. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, Mark got fired from NC State and TCU and OSU in another Big 12 bubble tussle last night. You're listening to the game on News Radio KMAN.